foresight whose top of your statue set them ablaze. T. Donald make Ronald Reagan turn in his grave. Season discrimination, sprinkle a little sage. Add a dash of hatred, eat it and get on stage. Chase it down with some poverty, add a splash of the murdering.
I was just watching I'm watching a series on Netflix. I literally just started it just because I was waiting for you to show up. Called The Ripper, which is about a series of brutal murders of sex workers in Yorkshire in the 70s.
Is his name Jack?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, you're right. Surprising. You would think
y'all see it.
It obviously resembled Jack the Ripper. That's why they gave it the name The Ripper. I also started Queen's Gambit. Queen's Gambit. Do you not like it?
I refuse to watch. That's the show about chess, right?
It is the show about chess.
Like a British show about chess?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no interest. Oh, and there is the pawn hitting the rook. Don't care.
Wait. I don't think she is British.
Okay, well, then that makes it a little bit better, but I'm still out. I saw the Bobby Fischer movie 20 years ago. Don't care about chess.
It's pretty interesting. Like, first episode is a trip because you've got, like, a 9-year-old who's this chess phenom. Her, like, mom basically kills herself. And then the kid, the 9-year-old, goes to this home and gets addicted to tranquilizer pills because they just were feeding them tranq pills. And that's how she gets into chess, is because she saves up all these tranq pills, takes them before she goes to bed, and like sees all the moves on the ceiling while she's laying there. It's more interesting than you would think by looking at it. That's why I took so long to watch it while everybody's like, oh, it's like the best show ever. Usually when people, like a whole bunch of people say, oh, it's the best show ever, it's okay, maybe.
That's a load of shit. Yeah. When I was 14, 15, smoking a lot of fucking weed, I was never seeing like advanced chess moves and shit like that. Man.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Maybe your parents just needed to kill themselves?
Yeah, I guess. It needs a bunch of horse tranquilizers and
yeah. Parent suicide, that's the key.
I mean, I guess on the other end of the spectrum, because you're watching smart TV, I'm out here streaming Cobra Kai like it's nothing now.
There you go. Look, just because the people in my shows speak with a British accent doesn't make it smart.
Well, I mean, that's why people are watching it. Ah, it's British people playing chess. If I say I like it, I'm smart.
It makes a lot of sense to me what you're saying.
Hey, I'm out on that. That's why I'm all.
Yeah. Why do you think it's
all British TV, though? That's the thing.
Say what?
Have you guys watched
all British TV? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Have you guys watched Cobra Kai?
Not yet.
Not the newest season.
Oh, you got to. It's great.
I have two shows. That's one of them. And then Brockmire is the other one.
Here's the 2-2. My wife's a whore. Jim Brockmire.
I just get like hounded like semi-regularly by people to watch each of those shows.
You've never watched Brockmire?
No.
It's so good.
I will eventually.
It's like 20 minute episodes too.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
That is very helpful.
Though I suppose there's sort of a common thread between Brockmire and the beginning of Cobra Kai, and it's just Coors Banquet empty cans strewn across a dirty carpet.
I do respect the banquet choice as opposed to Coors Light.
Classy.
I mean, he is trying to class it up a little bit.
Well, oh, I do love how in the Kai, it's deeper than people think. Yeah, they're showing class stratification where LaRusso is the – I think he's the bad guy. And I think Johnny Lawrence is the good guy in the TV show.
That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
He's all 1%er now.
Yeah, he really is.
The choice of banquet, by the way, that's like a – that's a statement by whoever wrote that show. You know, it shows the level of depravity or like he just doesn't care about himself anymore. So he's like, you know what? Like, I don't care if I get all these empty calories with all this beer I'm drinking. I don't care about myself anymore. Like that, I wonder how many discussions they had as to what kind of beer, what kind of Coors, because clearly they got to deal with Coors. What kind of beer they were going to have all over the floor.
I feel if you're drinking banquet beers, that's alcoholism. If you're drinking Coors Light, you're just binge drinking, you know.
Yeah, it's like
ripped off it. If you're drinking the banquet beer, you're slugging, you know, 8 to 10 banquets a night. Because I remember in the one of the early episodes when he gets the kid, he's like, "Oh, can I grab you a banquet there, Sensei?"
Yes, it's like, yes.
You have an out. You're an alcoholic when the little kid knows your beer of choice.
It's like
fun fact.
Yeah,
I have never had a banquet beer in my life, and about 10 years ago, I went out of my way to avoid ever having a banquet, just so like every 5 years I can bring up the fact that I've never had a banquet. Sort in my garage, in my golf bag, I have a 16-ounce banquet from like 2009.
It's just, oh, that's going to be good.
Collector's edition.
And
that's
going to
be real good.
It's just, you know, it's just a fun little talking point.
Sell that shit on eBay, bro.
I mean, Sam Elliott never get I've you. Slugged some silver bullets, don't get me wrong, but a banquet, that's where I draw the line.
Man. You think enough of yourself to like spend the extra dough, get the banquet, but then you also like hate yourself enough to actually be drinking banquet.
But I feel like we just grew up in this weird, I don't want to say generation, but time period where you just always drank the light version. Like I've had like 2 Bud Heavies in my life.
Yep.
But a Bud Light? Oh hell yeah, throw me that shit.
Yeah. A billion Coors Lights.
A billion. A silver bullet hop on the train, you know? People all over the world joining hands.
That's just straight water now.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. That really is water from, you know, the Rockies.
It's Rocky Mountain water.
Yeah.
A hint of alcohol in there.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit. All right, so Cruton happened yesterday. Apparently Oregon had the best class they've ever had. I feel like we've heard that before. First in the Pac-12, 6th in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. They got 2 4-star running backs, which is good, right?
Good, well, yeah. I feel like they're both small, but yeah.
I was going to say, how big are they? Because that's all that really matters right now.
I feel like one of them is like 160 pounds.
I actually
another 5'10", buck 60 guy out there.
I think
his name is Seven.
Seven McGee.
It's a whole, yeah, it's a whole Seinfeld episode,
that's
right
a
there.
Great name, by the way. Seven McGee.
Is that the Mick? Mick number 7?
Yeah.
Not why he's named Seven.
He's from New York. That's why I think he might be. Yes.
Oh.
It adds up because when did that Seinfeld episode air?
Oh.
Was he conceived while watching that Seinfeld episode?
No, because black people don't watch Seinfeld.
That's the correct joke there. Nice work. I actually looked this up. So the last time Oregon got more than 1 4-star running back in a class was 2015 when they got 3. Can you guys name the 3 4-star running backs from 2015?
Oh, 2015? Oh, God.
The highest ranked one was the number 1 all-purpose back in the country.
Taj Griffin.
Correct.
Good Lord.
They were the number 1, the number 3, and the number 5 ranked all-purpose backs in the country.
It's not a good thing when they're the all-purpose backs. That means they're tiny and probably playing slot.
I have no idea other than Taj Griffin. Give one more. Just maybe that'll jog the memory.
Honestly, Ski, you absolutely nailed it. Malik Lovett.
Oh, ooh, boy, yeah, he was gone real quick.
And the other one was Kirk Merritt.
That's a name. That is definitely a name.
So the point being, if you hear Oregon got 2 4-star running backs, guard yourself. Guard your excitement a little bit.
Those other 2 ever play it down?
Lovett moved to wide receiver and played
Lovett, if you want to rewatch that 2016 70-21 loss to UW, Brady Hoke put Love It on John Ross a lot, and it didn't end well.
That's just great coaching.
That's the only thing about Love It I remember is that he was in the end zone while John Ross caught a few balls.
Yep. And then Kirk Merritt, the most successful of the three, transferred to a JC, then transferred to Arkansas State, and is now in the NFL playing for the Dolphins. So good for him.
Great.
Taj Griffin was on, obviously. So Taj Griffin had his moments at Oregon, like, because he was just really, really fast, but obviously soft as, like, one of the softest running backs Oregon has ever had.
Well, I feel after D'Anthony, they're like, oh, we should get some of these, you know, really tiny, fast little guys. But then they never knew how to fucking utilize them in the slot or as a running back until now. I mean, you could see what could happen now.
Wheel routes.
In the offense. Wheel routes all day. You ain't touching those guys at the linebacker on them.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. I mean, again, as I always like to say with recruiting, it's like I don't give a fuck about these players until they're actually, like, playing. I mean, it's nice that they have stars. That's good. It says a lot about Cristobal, I guess, and his team. But, again, like, if they're not on the field playing well, I don't really care.
I think it's always – it's more of just, like, a metric of where your team is at.
And coaching. This tells me coaching. Because if you're able to get all these stars and then they don't turn into anything, like, what does that say about you as a coach? As a coaching? So,
Willie Lyle. Willie Taggart.
Like, I don't know how long actual recruiting stars and all that has been around. What, 15 years?
20,
like mid, yeah, like 2004 or something.
Sure. Yeah. I saw a stat today that technically – this Oregon class is the best all time in the conference, right?
Oh, in the conference?
The conference, which is, like I said, it hasn't been around for long. I'm sure USC had a year where they brought in Leinart, Jarrett, Bush, Cushing, okay. So it's not really, but.
Taylor Mays. Let's not forget Taylor Mays. Come on.
But you want to know who the number two all time recruiting class in the Pac-12 is? Team and year, just guess.
Ducks last year?
Nope.
It would be – wouldn't it be like the Kama – no, because that was the Kamatule year. I got nothing.
2013, UCLA.
Ooh.
You want to know who the number three – and, yes, we're saying these with air quotes – the number three all-time Pac-12-10 recruiting class ever is?
A random, like, Cal in 05 or 06?
I bet it's something. It's got to be – it has to be USC or Oregon. Like, it has to be.
2015 USC.
There you go. Yeah.
And so we'll end this exercise here. The number four all-time recruiting class in Pac-12 history.
You're these off the top of your head, too.
Well, I saw it, like, an hour ago. So.
Fair enough. Number four?
Yeah.
Washington State.
2018 USC. I don't know who they got. I have no idea. But there they are. Them in 2015. Way to go, Clay Helton.
Pretty sure one of the guys they got is currently on Oregon as their one of their best.
Was that a Devin Williams year?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that would add up. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
It's like a time where it would make the mid-2000s where it's like three stars were the highest you could get or something. I mean,
no, it just wasn't really recorded. It just, yeah. I mean,
A lot of retro star grading happened with those, like, early 2000 classes, because they had to rank, like, all these sites. They had to, like, rank their players. Who are the best star recruits, you know, Oregon has ever had? And all of a sudden you're like, because I remember Calvin, or I remember Colvin being a 5-star. I remember Jonathan Stewart being a 5-star and it being a big deal. But
Nada.
But yeah, but do you remember Nada being talked about as a 5-star before the ranking systems became big? Because I don't.
No. I do remember LaCorey Collins was on the cover of Parade All-American magazine.
LaCorey Collins, good call.
And then he gained 90 pounds and became a tight end.
You got that freshman 90?
Yeah. A lot of banquets.
Hey, man, we've all been there. Well, not you. Most 4 stars in the country for Oregon this year out of all of the other schools. Alabama tended to hog the 5 stars like they do.
I a couple weeks ago, I saw a link, you know, I think it was Rivals. I don't know. 247. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And
there's no way it was Rivals, by the way. There's no way it was Rivals.
And they were showing the top, you know, rankings. And it was Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Oregon 3. Oh, cool. And Alabama had 5 5-star recruits. Yeah. Ohio State had 3. Oregon had 2. And at the end of the day, Ohio State ended with 3. Oregon ended with 2. And Alabama ended with 8. God, it's... I know this is just fatalism and nihilism. I don't know how you see a path for Oregon to, like, win a title. They can recruit number 5 classes for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Don't you think they're missing out on, like, an angle for recruiting? I mean, you kind of just – you portray Alabama as, you know, the big bad team that everyone should want to come beat. So once you get 1 or 2 coming, you think you could be able to piggyback another couple of them that aren't – that didn't get invited to Alabama. I mean, you kind of got to portray it as that because, like you said, otherwise Alabama's just going to steal them all.
If you're Oregon, do you talk about anybody else? Or are you just like, all we want to do is own the West Coast? Like, and it chances of us actually winning a title, like, yeah, we'll talk about it. Sure. You know, you come here. Well, we've been in the playoff before. We've been in national championship games before. You'll have a shot. I don't think that – I doubt that's what they focus on with kids.
No, I think they probably go the Pete Carroll approach. Uh-huh. When he was at SC, and he's like, just win every game, win the Pac-10. From there, what can we control? If you go 12-0, you're in. You know, 11-1, hey, Rose Bowl, nice consolation prize. But I don't know how Mario Cristobal can be sitting there going, hey, listen, come here. And hey, we're going to compete with Clemson and Alabama. Maybe it should be Cal first.
Which, ask any news writer in the 1920s. The Rose Bowl is the best bowl game. Screw a national championship.
At least now it seems like you could use it more of, you know, this 5-star quarterback we got. Be like, hey, look, we had Mariota. We had Herbert.
That's how you do it.
Look how they're doing now. Come here. You got a shot to be, you know, NFL caliber in our system.
Yeah.
It used to be like that for running backs. Not anymore.
That's Oregon's road, too, by the way. Yeah. They have to have a Mariota. And the thing is, they had a Mariota, and they still didn't win a national title. But that's the only way they have a shot, is if they have this, like, next-level, incredible quarterback on their team who can, you know, separate them. Because, I don't know. Obviously, he had a pretty good defense as well at that time, so that helps. But, yeah, no. Lightning in a bottle, man. If you're not Alabama, you got to have, like, a special year, and shit just has to come together. And it's not going to happen very often. That's why, like, looking back at those, like, you know, the Chip Kelly years, it's like, shit, man, we really should have – like, a lot of us, like, really should have just, like, stopped then. Because, like, I think the prevailing thought was, like, This is just the way it is now. It's going to be like this forever. Chip Kelly, our offense, blah, blah, blah. And then obviously it kind of came crashing down a little bit. But
well, yeah, because then Nick Saban stole Chip Kelly's offense.
He did. He stopped complaining. He stopped complaining about it. And actually,
this what we want football to be. I mean, seriously.
His words.
Injuries, the pace. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, it is.
Kids are gonna die.
Hey, I'm gonna get that quarterback from Hawaii. And yes, this is what I want football to be.
Yeah, hang on a minute.
And yeah, and now every good team puts up like 40 a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, like you said, that was the window right there to where Chip was so innovative that he was there first.
Yes.
And the problem is I don't really see that happening again.
No, you can't bet on that.
Or more like how can you change how football's played again like that to like more, just more scoring? You almost can't. I mean, the air raid is as high offense as you could get. And I mean, no, teams are gonna have to start regressing for the Ducks to win.
There weren't many things that you could mess with. And tempo was really one of the things that like had been approached. Obviously the Bills did it, like no huddle, but it hadn't been, okay, what are we allowed? Like how much time are we like allowed in between the ball being placed and us taking, like doing a snap? Like how much time is allowed? All right, we're going to push that. So let's get a playoff in 3 seconds. Yeah, but it's going to be the same play. Yeah. And it's going to fucking get 8 yards, like, cause they're not ready for it and they're tired.
It does crack me up that, you know, for all the genius offensive stuff Chip gets, and I know we're going glory years Ducks now for whatever reason, his shit was so simple. It was just like, hey, that's a loophole I can exploit. There's an inefficiency on defense and everyone else's offense that if I just snap the ball 7 seconds faster on every snap, I'm going to get 17 more plays and they're not going to be set.
That was Chip's whole thing, though. Like, Chip's whole thing was finding loopholes.
It was great.
But his offense, his recruiting, like, everything was finding loopholes.
And now we have a head coach whose mantra is, hey, I'm going to run into a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, we'll break it down. Yeah. You know, head first, you know. This is how we do it, brother.
No, but, like, that's why Hulk Hogan,
No, that's how Mario talks.
Hey, brother.
Hey, you know what, brother? We're just going to keep on going at it. I appreciate the question, James Krepia, but we're going to keep on going at it.
The industrial
right into the wall, and that's our approach, yeah. Brother.
Throwback to the NWO. Let's go.
Don't turn your back on the wolf pack. Do, 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 do. You might end up in a body bag. Do, 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 do.
Oh, geez. By the way, Cristobal did say that Ty Thompson will compete to be the starting quarterback next year.
He will be the quarterback next year.
That's a pretty big, honestly, like, that's, he's not going to not say that. I get it. But he did say it. And what you're talking about now is, you know, Shuck, who was kind of the guy who was supposed to be the star, who had somehow, according to other people and the numbers, had a good year last year. I think, you know, anybody who actually watched Oregon can tell you otherwise. And then you have Anthony Brown coming.
Eye test.
Yeah, exactly.
Eye test. No.
And then you have Anthony Brown coming back too. So he's going to be like a sixth year grad transfer, who flashed a little bit. I think he showed his limitations a little bit as well. You have those guys coming back, so you have a ton of experience versus, you know, five-star quarterback.
I mean, I'm not sure if you guys saw it. I always saw Shuck as kind of a stopgap until that next big quarterback showed up.
I thought he was going to be the guy.
You thought he was the guy?
Because when he came in for Herbert, like when Herbert had to sit or whatever, he looked good. And so, you know, just the little bit that we saw his freshman year, I was like, okay, I think he's going to be really good. Like there's a reason, you know, Brown with all his experience is not starting. And then he did flash a little bit in certain moments. And then obviously forgot how to throw a football and who to throw it to, whom to throw it to. Excuse me.
Except for what do you go with? And if, I mean, you almost have to, Chris Ball almost has to see Shuck as like, we could win a title with this guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's just going to be an average at best quarterback, you just got to start the young kid and just eat that year if it turns bad.
Well, that's my running my running theory is that, and I don't know exactly their schedule, so forgive me, mean commentators.
Ohio State.
They start Brown or Shuck against Hawaii, And then they send them to the Wolves in Columbus, and they lose by 27. And then they're like, you know what? We need to restart this engine on offense. You know what? We've been a little constipated. Hey, against Holy Cross, Ty Thompson, you're up. We're just going to give him a run. And then, of course, because it's Holy Cross or whoever the fuck. I think it is Holy Cross. They drop 77, and then he's the guy. But they are not throwing, unless it's injury-wise, I cannot see them throwing a true freshman out against Ohio State and Columbus. That's a confidence killer, right?
Are we actually going to be playing there?
Oh yeah.
Why would we play there?
I think they should cancel it because they didn't come here.
Why return that
one-sided trip? Yeah, it's an automatic loss.
Yeah. What does that benefit playing there one time? Nothing.
They'll probably be like, well, yeah, we'll get $400,000 for going there.
Let's get that Portland State game in there instead.
Yes, yeah, so let's go play the Vikings at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro. Like, let's just do that.
By the way, you are close. It's Stony Brook.
Oh!
I did not know that Stony Brook had a football team. Did you?
Neither did I.
Nope.
I am legit surprised looking at this right now. Kind of questioning whether or not the schedule is correct. So they start.
You're not looking at a basketball schedule next year?
Right? Like, that's a basketball school. Like, only basketball.
How are they playing Stony Brook? The Seawolves. I do know they're the Seawolves, I think.
Yeah. There's definitely a picture of a wolf here.
from the sea.
So they start. A sea wolf.
I'm pretty sure that it's a sea wolf.
So they start at home against Fresno.
Oh, Fresno. That was close. Mountain West School.
And then they travel to Ohio State, and then they host Stony Brook.
Cancel the fuck out of that Ohio State game.
Do not go.
There is no point in going there.
Do you know who they're playing in 2022, by the way?
Georgia, I think, in Atlanta.
Georgia and A&M.
Georgia and BYU. Good shit. You got Georgia, Eastern Washington, and BYU in the non-con.
Love how Mario's just lining up scheduled losses.
Is that supposed to be a home and home with Georgia, or is that a neutral field?
It's just at Mercedes-Benz. Why are they doing this? This is not the route you take.
No.
Why do they ever schedule these fucking teams? There's no good reason to play Ohio State or Georgia in the non-con. Like, so even if you win, fine, whatever. Like, you still have to win all of your games.
That's my thing. You
cannot lose if you're Oregon.
As a Pac-12 team?
You have a weak non-conference schedule. That's great.
Great.
Win all of those games. Also win all of your Pac-12 games. And that is how you get in the playoff. Period. You cannot lose any of those games and get in. That's the whole point. Stop it. You don't actually make anything by doing this, too. Don't they, like, lose money from these games?
So dumb.
Jesus.
I love how they're like, you know what? We're just going to keep on accepting these one-offs in the South.
Yeah.
Hey, LSU, drive 3 miles west. We're going to fly 8 miles east, 8 hours east. That's a fair trade. Georgia. Hey, Auburn, meet us in Atlanta. Hey, Georgia.
Georgia in Atlanta.
Hey, Georgia, meet us in Atlanta. What are they doing?
Anyway, so maybe we'll see.
I guess Boise State did beat Georgia and Atlanta once upon a time.
Speaking of Boise, they just got Cyrus Abibilikio.
That's a good fit, I think.
Good fit. I think that's a great fit from Atlanta.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our list. Does that work with you?
Sure.
Let's do our list. So, big announcement. It was actually announced, right? So the NCAA football game video game is coming back. And I don't know about y'all, but I absolutely used to play that game. I have not played a Madden since that. Like, every time I try to play Madden, I'm just, like, bored with it after a couple of games.
Yeah, it's too hard.
So I'm hoping it's not like that when it does come back. But
I hate Madden.
I fucking NCAA, like, my buddies and I, we had, like, these leagues we would play in, franchises or whatever they were called. I fucking forget. It was, like, 8 years ago.
Dynasty,
yeah, maybe that was it. And we would all play against each other online. It's fucking fun. Super fun.
Well, before we get to the list, I mean, the one thing that I think NCAA needs to just come back with is simplicity. Mm-hmm. Madden is too complicated.
Yeah.
I can't just hit X anymore and make a throw. I got to hit X, the left stick, and depending on if I want – yeah, like the orb on the ball, the trajectory, I got to hit another button. And then when I throw it, I got to make the receiver do a confident catch, an aggressive catch in a running stance so we can get yak. It's just – no, enough. I just want to hit X and just catch a slant.
It's like how it's like how racing games are now. Like before, like Mario Kart, you hold the button, you go. Now it's like you play like Gran Turismo and you have to like.
You have to know how to drive a race car.
You have to know how to drive a race car. It's like, yeah. Oh, I got to like double downshift into this turn and take it at like the perfect, you know, mileage.
I got to draft off this car ahead of me and then downshift before the turn. Otherwise, I end up in the dirt and it takes me literally 10 minutes to get out of it.
Well, you know, there are so many nerds that love that aspect of like how Madden is now. Because they, you know, guys that probably never played football, but it's like, oh, I'm the quarterback here. I'm in the game.
Yep. That's EA's thing. All right, so our list is what?
Just the three teams you love playing with in NCAA football. Okay. And this is all encompassing. If you want to say the 97 Gators,
okay,
or whatever, you're covered.
Okay, I like it. So you start.
My number three is the Wyoming Cowboys. Because I thought in my head, oh, yeah, come to Laramie, big boy. That elevation's going to get you.
Yes, 100%. That's mine is kind of on that note. My number three is San Jose State. My Spartans. I actually I would do the create a player thing back in the day, have them on San Jose State, go in that natty with the Spartans. It's good times. Basically, I just did it for the jerseys because they were cool as hell. Cool. And I was born in San Jose, so it's like, let's go. Let's go win that title.
That goes with my number three, and that's UCLA for those old, awesome, like, 90s, early 2000 unis.
Yeah. I like that.
You got to look good out there.
You do. You do. Deshaun Foster running over people. Let's go.
Deshaun Foster. The sophomore from Tustin, California. He's just a pup, but he's a good one.
Are you trying to keep Jackson? Is that what that is?
He's been dead for a while. I forget what he sounds like.
Okay.
It's close. My number two is just Nebraska, but this is Nebraska. This is on dynasty mode, so I can just create players because I just wanted to never pass. Yeah. So I made everyone 6'7", 350 pounds, even my receivers. And I would throttle down their speed and made my running backs 100, which still meant they were slow because it was just funny watching these enormous people run. And it still wasn't great. I would win. But every run was 5 yards.
So you're trying to be Mario Cristobal. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I was doing, brother.
5 yards in a cloud of dust, brother.
Thanks for the question, James. Put us on Sundays, Fox Sports, Eugene. Let's do it. Cowards.
My number two is 2004 USC. Obvious reasons. Never got to play it. Reggie Bush in a video game would be very, 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 very fun. I would run a lot of – I don't know what I'd run with that because you got Leinart and he's slow as shit. So it's not like you're running any speed options with Reggie Bush. I don't know. I got nothing. You figure it out. Just give him the ball. Have him return all the kicks. You're good. That's my two.
That's a good pick. All right. My number two is Georgia Tech. So just murder people to death with a triple option.
And then just throw deep to Calvin Johnson.
Or if I have, yeah, depending on the year, throw it up to Johnson.
Money. Money.
My number one, and I forget the year. I think it's 2000 because they're 99 because the years are kind of different. This is OG PlayStation.
Yeah.
With hexagonal polygram graphics.
Oh, yeah.
Virginia Tech. Because Mike Vick.
Is that Vick? Yeah.
He was Michael Vick at that time, or QB yeah. number seven.
QB number seven.
You had to do was just run to the sideline and run up, and you were gone.
It was 2000.
And Virginia Tech, in that game, they fired a cannon every time you scored a touchdown. And those great 1999 graphics.
Was that Beamer somehow still around then?
It was. Oh, hell yeah. It was Frank Beamer.
Yeah, it was.
In real life, they lost to Chris Winkie because he was 47. Chris Winkie beat Mike Vick in a championship game, and he was somehow older than Bobby Bowden. It made no sense.
Yeah, Frank Beamer called him Pops. All right, number one.
Which is funny because Frank Beamer looks 60, has looked 60 plus for like 20 years.
Yeah. My number one is 2012 Oregon. That's the year like after LaMichael left, but they still had Barner, DeAnthony, and Byron Marshall was the other running back. I fucking love Byron Marshall. And you still got Mariota at that point, obviously. Yeah. Give me all that. I mean,
that game is funny.
We played that. Like, that's the game we played when we had
it. Well, and what's funny about that year is it's still early enough to where it didn't happen, but now they do, like, adjustments in season. Yeah. And so, like, Mariota was, like, a 78, and, like, by October he would have been a 97.
Yep, had, like, 32 touchdowns. Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, that year playing that game, I was still on Twitter back then. And I remember DeAnthony was like, remember you used to be able to like have people upload rosters so you could like all the players and stuff. And like, I got this roster from one of those random websites and I just like changed some of the Oregon stuff to make it more accurate. And I remember DeAnthony reaching out on Twitter is like, hey, who has the NCAA roster? And I was like, I got one. You want one? And so like, he's like, all right, let me add you on Xbox and you could like send it to me or whatever. So he had EFO add me as a friend on Xbox and I sent them the roster through that because I think they were like roommates or something. So I'm still friends on Xbox with Ifo Ekpre Olamu just because.
Ooh, nice. Humble name brag.
Name dropped.
Yeah, pick that name up, dude.
I know. Sorry. My bad, guys. So clumsy.
Right. Well, I guess I'm on my number one. All right. My number one is any year of Miami.
I think that Miami team is pretty untouchable.
Dem Canes.
Doesn't even matter if they're good or not. Anytime you score, you just fucking dance around. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. Who is the – so I'm trying to think back to those teams that we just listed. So we're talking about, you know, with the USC team, I'm like, I want to play as Reggie Bush. With, like, the U team, it's like – I want to play as Jeremy Shockey. I'm just kidding. I mean, I don't not, but it's not.
Kellen Winslow, at least.
But I'm just like, who? Because that's kind of the point of the NCAA series, right? Is like you have the team with the one guy who is completely unstoppable. I'm just like, what one guys would you want to use in that game? Like,
I have the answer. And actually, I suckered. He might not remember this, but he was one of many.
Was he the first guy to take a knee? Is that who you're talking about?
No. Okay. But I think it was NCAA 2003.
Okay.
I had this gimmick running for about 3 years where I would, you know, fuck with people. If you were UW and you ran a certain fly pattern with what's his name? Reggie Williams. It did not matter. He caught it every single time and you couldn't tackle him. It was a glitch.
UW Wait, Woodson.
So this was a scam you were running, or this was an actual thing?
No, this is a scam.
Okay.
Like, I killed Ski on this once when I lived at the McKenna Estates across from Watson. He got furious. Threw his remote and he left.
Cheat with UW.
It was a cheat. It really was a cheat. Like, you could run back 30 yards with Cody Pickett or whatever on this route and just throw it. It would go 80 yards in the air. And he would catch it, and he couldn't be tackled.
It's fantastic.
It was great.
I do kind of miss out that there was no Derrick Henry NCAA game.
Never got it.
I don't think he would have been able to be tackled. He would have been like your glitch, but not an actual glitch.
It would have been a fair glitch.
Yeah. Who are those guys, though? I'm struggling to think of them other than guys like Bush, you know? I mean, DeAnthony was one of those guys, I guess.
I bet Johnny Football.
Yeah.
Fucking run all over the park.
Yeah, John F. Football.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the 2013 game, the Heisman game, where they brought back old players and all that. Barry Sanders. He was pretty much unstoppable.
By the way, they did that with him in the college game, and then they did it with the Madden game like a couple years later with Barry Sanders. So they're just like running the fucking gamut of bringing Barry Sanders back and literally anything they possibly could, because he was fucking awesome.
Speaking of Madden, the other day we kind of unearthed the Wii a little bit.
Nice. Ooh.
And so I played, I can't remember the year. Madden 07, I don't know. Sean Alexander was on the cover.
There you go.
And I played as the Seahawks.
Of course. Big Seahawks fan.
I played one quarter, and Sean Alexander maybe had like 129 or 189 yards rushing. He was unstoppable. It wasn't fair.
That's awesome.
Who was the quarterback on that Seahawk team?
Hasselbeck.
That Hasselbeck?
Yeah.
Obviously. I don't know.
They had a couple years. It had some years in there where it was just like random for a year and then he was gone.
Yeah.
Wasn't Flynn for a year?
He was the guy that lost the job to Wilson.
Yeah. That was after. Remember they paid Flynn a whole bunch of money because he played like three games with Green Bay or something while Rodgers was hurt.
Like Rick Meyer there.
Rick Meyer, yeah. And Meyer was before.
He was like in the 80s, maybe.
Even. Yeah, Meyer was a long time.
Holy fuck, are you early watching 90s. This Oregon game?
No.
Damn. Did you see that block?
Yeah, it was huge.
I think his hand was above the square.
I'm trying to use my illegal streaming site, and it's not going well, guys.
Well, by the way, Oregon has 13 points 12 minutes in, so you don't need to watch.
Sounds about right. I heard Will Richardson was playing, though. He's technically on the floor, right?
He is. Yep.
He got his wrist wrap.
Good for him. Good for him playing basketball like a basketball player.
So this is Dana's time right here. Just going to start getting the team working together to make that run.
Yep. Yep.
Sweet 16 on lock.
Oh, guaranteed.
Oh, for sure. What's her face got taken off committees today or whatever? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Marjorie.
She gone. She's lucky to still have a fucking job.
Old Marge.
Fucking. Did you see the thing with the, what's his face? Dude from Maryland got up and had like the big cardboard cutout. That's like the thing they do now is the cardboard cutouts on the floor. And it had like the picture of her with a fucking AR next to a picture of the, what did she call him? It's like AOC Talib.
The squad.
Yeah, the squad or something
squad.
Like
that. Squad. Like, she's their biggest nightmare.
She's their biggest nightmare, literally holding a fucking automatic rifle.
I know it's Georgia. And if you look at District 14 or whatever she's in, it's one of those weird gerrymandered, you know, it's the shape of an L, you know, districts.
Yeah.
How did she win? It's so weird. Like that these just, you can have reasonable disagreements. We're just for the sake of the argument, as a Democrat with Republicans, like, hey, you're pro-choice, pro-life, you know, okay. You can have taxes. You can have reasonable disagreements.
Sure.
She's like, school shooting is fake. That's a false flag. 9/11, whatever. Probably not real. Like, did you hear her statement today?
Yeah.
Where she was like, school shootings happen and 9/11 was real.
She backtracked. She was like, QAnon convinced me of all of these untrue things. Oh, is that so? Huh.
It was like 4 months ago that she was elected. How? It's so weird. Well,
here's the thing. If right now I could go win like the Roseburg district.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, if I like had no self-shame, I could get their votes by saying exactly what they want to hear.
Exactly what she
said. And you got to open an Izzy's.
Yeah. Oh.
Guaranteed, if I open an Izzy's, I'm in.
If you open an Izzy's, because it's pizza and a whole bunch more, you're definitely winning.
Remember the fucking school shooting in Roseburg, and Obama came to like give his condolences and like hug people.
And people
they fucking lined the streets protesting him in Roseburg. Are you fucking kidding me? Like,
hey, don't be bad mouthing my district, man.
Your district is garbage.
Don't be bad mouthing my district.
Your district, fix your district, Ski.
No, I don't.
That is the funny thing.
That's how you keep winning.
God,
that is a funny thing about Oregon is that.
By the way, real quick. So like, if a school shooting happened, fuck Trump forever. Fuck Trump. He's the worst. Fuck him. But if there was a school shooting and he legitimately came to like comfort people, which I honestly cannot see him doing. But if he legitimately came to do that, then I'm like, bro, that's awesome.
Yeah,
like,
good on him.
Looking out for your people, that's fantastic. That's great. I don't think he would do it. I honestly don't. But, you know.
Not in Oregon.
You fucking put that stuff aside when there's like a tragedy, right? Isn't that kind of the thing?
Yeah, you would think so.
Not in the burg.
And like the weirdest thing about that whole thing, you know, the people lining the streets because the UCC shooting is that like that was a couple years removed from after Obama comforted the Connecticut school
Sandy shooting. Hook.
Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
And that's a very Republican part of the, you know, district. And they were like, oh, he was great.
Yeah.
It's great. Sat us out. And then Roseburg is like, nah, we're good. No. Yep. Yeah. The urban rural cliff in Oregon is very steep.
Like, it really is. Yeah.
Not even just in Eugene, but like in Portland. I mean, if you're in Beaverton or Tiger and you just go a little bit west.
Yeah, really close. Really close.
All of a sudden, it is pretty scary.
Yeah. Hey, King. You want to do your solid 5 minutes of America's Cup talk now for Kurt?
Yeah, I kind of forget. What was that? Was that sailing?
Yeah, it is. Sailing. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So Bennett Wilson and Cap Anson, they were on the Mariana 450 in Nantucket, and they caught the easterly wind, and they were just chugging. They were just chugging. You could not believe they got past the chop. They were doing well. And then, you know, that other boat caught up to them, and it was a photo finish, or as they call it in boating community, it was a photo finish.
I've heard that.
And that's my boating talk.
All right. America's
Sponsored Cup. By Sperry.
America's Cup. America's Cup breakdown. Sponsored by Sperry. Fantastic.
That work? Was that a good boat talk?
Brought to you by 80-year-old men and their 19-year-old girlfriends.
I feel like you needed to say like keel a little more.
Yeah, yes. Starboard? I didn't get a starboard at you.
Port?
The port side. I was on the port side. Yeah. And the winds were coming from the starboard side or Do
love me a good port. Good stuff. I haven't had a port in like 10 years, I'd say.
A Newport?
Wait, what am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Think of wine?
Big dark beer. What am I thinking of?
A porter?
Porter.
Thank you.
I thought we were talking menthol cigarettes.
We were talking wine. Like nice dessert wine.
I was going to say. You're sucking down Newports like Tupac, but Camel Menthol Silvers is where it's at.
That's not what I was talking about. Oh, my God. All right. Do we have anything else to even talk about here? I don't know. Herbert won Rookie of the Year.
Yay.
Over Jefferson. Jefferson had like the best rookie wide receiver year ever, but you're not beating Herbert. Not this year.
I thought Tua was like the best player ever, yet he didn't win somehow. I mean,
Fitzmagic didn't get him there, man. So we have Fitzmagic to blame. Let's see. Stafford is a Ram now. Goff is a Lion now. So, like, they gave up a whole bunch. But they – so, like, here's the deal. Like, everybody's talking about this is, like, a fantastic deal for the Lions. And it is because you get two firsts and you get Goff or whatever. So, Goff is – this is a future move. I mean, obviously. Like, Goff is going to be, like, a stopgap between the quarterback you draft and then them actually being able to play. And you actually getting talent in the next 2 or 3 years. So that's good. It's good for them. They're building. They just got a new coach, all that shit. I don't know that the coach is going to be there in 2 or 3 years. We'll see. But the Rams, this could be a really good move for them because it's only good, obviously, if they win a Super Bowl. But what were they missing last year? Like Goff.
They were missing a running back.
They got Akers towards the end of the year, though.
And Akers is an average running back.
Okay.
The reason why they're good is
when he was
playing. Well, here's my thing with the Rams.
Yeah.
People are like, well, the Rams have found a running back in Cam Akers, and they have the best defense in the NFL. Cool. You're the Titans in LA. Sick.
Yeah. Not as good as a running back.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Now they have Stafford to throw to Kupp and Woods.
Yes, I love how we've elevated Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods to like legendary status.
They're good receivers.
They're okay.
They are. No, they're good. Okay. Fucking Chiefs guy. Chiefs guy.
But that's what I'm saying is, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, or Bobby Trees, as we call them in the industry.
Obviously.
They're good. But, like, are you really scared of Cooper Kupp?
I don't know if you remember, it was 3 years ago, people thought, like, that Brandon Cooks there was, like, he was going to be untouchable.
Like, my thing with the Rams is once the NFL, like, kind of figured out that loophole, where they're like, wait a minute. McVay is talking to Goff like at the line of scrimmage, like up to the point of snapping the ball.
Yeah, telling him literally,
No. We're putting an end to that. Once they put an end to that, yeah, they haven't been that great.
I thought it was inside of like 14 seconds they had to like kill the mics.
But they were pushing that because what they would do is they kind of did the Chip Kelly thing where they were exploiting the rules. Mm-hmm. They would just go right up to the line of scrimmage. And McVay would be talking. They wouldn't even huddle. They would just do shit on the fly.
Right.
And they just kind of tweaked, you know.
And McVay would read the defenses for him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. I mean, I think Stafford's fine. He's okay. Yeah. He's good.
Yes.
But
he's got 3 or 4 good years in him left.
But if in December, if going into the playoffs this year, we just magically transported Stafford to the Rams, are you like, oh, shit. That's a Super Bowl team. They're beating the Bucs. They're better than the Packers. I don't think you are.
I mean, they made the playoffs with Goff. Like they're a good team. They made the playoffs with Goff and the fucking whoever the hell that I can't remember his name. The dude who like came in because Goff was injured and they didn't have any quarterbacks on their roster. What's his fucking name?
Wolford or something?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. So, like, they almost beat the Seahawks with that fucking guy.
They did
guy.
Beat the Seahawks.
Well, they did beat the Seahawks. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah. With Goff, yeah.
Yeah, with Goff. After what's-his-face got hurt and Goff was playing with, like, a broken thumb.
Yeah, so Jared Goff has more playoff wins this year with one thumb than Matthew Stafford has playoff wins in 12 years.
Exactly. I'm curious to see what Stafford does, dude.
It'll be fine. Yeah. I just don't think their offense is as dynamic as it was 3 years ago.
Well, especially so, Cup like blew his knee out last year.
And Stafford, if you really look at his stats, I think it's been since 2015 that he's thrown 30 touchdowns in a season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
since he had Calvin Johnson, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time.
That's the thing, though, is he hasn't had any good players.
They've had good receivers, but here's the thing. Can you name a Lions running back?
No. LeGarrette Blount.
Like, yeah.
It's cheating.
I'm just saying.
Patriots.
Carry on.
Hey, he beat the legend. LeGarrette Blount literally beat the Patriots, like, last year.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Goff could actually have done good with the Niners. With Braga's team. Because he has to have a big running game. That's how, the only way he's good, really.
God, the Niners, need wide receivers so bad. Like, fuck. It's like, Kittle's great, but God, you're relying on Kittle's Debo as a number one. It's like, Jesus.
What draft pick do they got this year?
It's like 14, I think. 14. Yeah.
There's a wide receiver sitting for them right there, probably.
That is wide receiver. They also need a corner because Sherman's going to be gone. And
they're overrated.
I just can't relate to this NFL poverty talk. You're like, boy, we got holes on our team. Whoa.
How you feeling, man?
Oh, my God. I'm already mad that we're not going for the three-peat.
Yeah.
Damn D Ford.
Damn
D. I'm looking forward to the four in a row already. Like, theory.
Not here's one, not two, not three.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, geez Louise.
You should bet your house on the Chiefs. Because right now, everyone is all over Brady and the Bucks. And this feels like last week, or I guess it would be 2 weeks ago, when everyone was all over Rodgers and the Packers over them. It has that same feeling where money's coming in, but you look at it and be like, this team is really good.
Yeah.
Why are people not betting the Chiefs? How are they getting stopped?
They didn't all of a sudden get bad.
No.
They're still the exact same team.
What I love about Chiefs talk this year, and it's just sports radio. It's the monster.
Sure.
Where they're just like, why weren't they blowing out teams? Because they're bored.
Literally bored, yeah.
They were 11-0. Like, they're bored.
Bieniemy's on the sideline like, hey, let's try this play. Let's just see if it works. I don't care if it doesn't. Like, whatever.
What I think it was the Falcons game in, like, week 14 or whatever. I don't even know. End of the year. And it's 7-7 in the third on 4th-and-1 from, like, the 27. And the Chiefs, like, they do, like, the pirouette thing. Like, four people in the backfield pirouette. Like, 3 yards to the right, and they snap it to a fullback who throws it to Mahomes. Well, boy, I don't know about this Kansas City team. They don't look so – yeah, they're boring. They're just trying shit out.
Bieniemy and Andy Reid, like, just sit in his office watching CFL games from the 80s and, like, pulling random plays from the Toronto Argonauts.
It is just a funny position I'm in because I don't – why would I ever think my team is going to lose? The guy had Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
Like, why would I think they're going to lose? But this is the ultimate, like, quarterback you're going against.
But it's also
like,
Tom Brady.
Why would you think he's going to lose?
But it's also Tom Brady. Yep.
Was there any Super Bowl matchup you saw where you're like, oh, there's a good chance, this ain't going to be so easy? I mean, you didn't fear Rodgers. I mean, who would fear the Packers?
Yeah.
People were saying they were the most complete team in the league.
Rodgers, you don't fear the Packers.
Right.
No, that's the thing. Because their defense can't stop fucking nobody.
No.
They can't run the – they found a way to not be able to run the ball. You know, seriously, Jones is a good running back.
Seriously, you look at any team in the NFL, like, would you be afraid of anybody as a Chiefs fan?
They said Titans.
No.
Titans. No, not the Titans. Hell no, not the Titans.
They're a team, though, if they get a lead, they could just pound you to death. All their games are always lowers. Their games
Tannehill? Are yeah, their like, games really? Are no. No. Not the Seahawks.
Like, it's just not weird.
Not the Rams.
As a Chiefs fan, like, the games to me don't start until the second quarter. I'm like, they're down 9-0.
Right.
They're down 17-0. They're down 24-0. Whatever. Like, it literally just takes, like, one stupid Mahomes to Tyreek play to where I'm like, all right, floodgates open.
Yep. Kind of feels like the Ducks under Chip there where it's, you know, if they get a turnover,
yeah,
right, all of a sudden they swing 14, 21 points in 5 minutes kind of thing.
Like, we're not old enough to remember the Showtime Lakers, but we are old enough, obviously, to remember, like, the Warriors with Durant, Curry, and Clay. That's what I feel like the Chiefs are.
Yeah.
Down 15 and a half.
Yeah, they can be down 15, and it's, like, in 3 minutes of game time, bang, down two, game over. Like, they're down three, but you know the game is over. They're going to win by 10.
Remember when you could say that about Oregon when teams would kick field goals in the first quarter against them?
Yes.
You'd be like, oh, shit. Like, Cal's kicking field goals. They're done.
Done.
Like, they're done. Like,
yep.
They lead Oregon 9-0 right now. There's no
chance
they're winning this game.
Because it just takes one Michael run. And now it's 9-7, and they're going to get a turnover on the next possession. It might as well be 15-9 right now. They're going for two, and they're getting it.
That's why the fucking Stanford games were so unbelievable. Like, you're sitting there watching those Stanford games like, what the fuck is this? Like, who is this Oregon team on the field right now? This doesn't make any sense. Like, we've been watching this offense for 3 years now. Like, they run it up on everybody. What is this shit? Stanford's not good. Those guys aren't athletic. How the fuck is this happening? You always got one.
Three yards a play with 20 play drives. That's how
Tyler Gaffney, 75 carries for 142 yards.
Stephon Taylor.
62 carries, 138 yards.
Jesus Christ.
While we're on our team still, do you guys – I mean, it's probably 100% bullshit, but a whole Luck coming out of retirement to play next year? It's got to be bullshit.
It's got to be. I think he's done.
His body's broken.
I thought he was a cripple. I thought he was crippled, yeah. And all of a sudden he's trying to come back.
He's going Urban Meyer on us? Fantastic. Urban Meyer has retired twice for health reasons and then come back.
Wow. Did you see Brett Favre fucking throwing shade at Deshaun Watson?
No, what'd he say?
Essentially, like, trying to big league him, like, players don't, like, demand trades. They, like, play out their contract kind of thing. It's like, well, how about he just retire? How about he just retires and then gets picked up by another team like Favre
right.
did?
Yeah. Like, yes. That was a very a very toned.
Like, yes, it was. I was.
Hey, Brett, did you not pay attention to what you did?
No, he was on painkillers the whole time, bro. Yeah. He didn't remember half that shit.
Dick pics to Jen Sturger.
Jen Sturger, there's a name we haven't heard. That's a fucking trivia question. Jesus. You know what? Let's end the podcast on Jen Sturger.
Boobs.
Let's call it good. Boobs.
But I know what was it? AJ McCarron's girlfriend in the I think it was the Alabama Notre Dame national championship.
Yeah, with
Brent
Musburger or whatever.
Yes, that's when America was like, "Wow, Brent Musburger is kind of a pervert."
Yeah.
But if you go back and look at him doing Florida State games in like 2005 or whatever when Jen Sturger was there. Uh-huh. Way out of pocket. He would just be like, oh, wow. Look at those Noel fans. That's a tomahawk chop. I mean, it was bad.
As they're just handed, like, only on her.
Yeah. I think he said something like, and you wonder why Florida State's recruiting is so well when every red-blooded American male wants to go to Tallahassee for college. And it's just showing these, like, bejeweled boobs glistening in the sun.
There was that, like, couple-year run where the world learned, like, what kind of dude Musburger is. Because, like, you had that stuff come out, and then also where he'd start – he all of a sudden started talking about gambling during broadcasts all the time too.
Well, he was just, yeah, he was like, I'm done. I'm old. I'm retiring in a few years. I'm just going to talk about it.
Well, he didn't though, because he got picked up by the SEC network. So he like only did SEC games. And so like they fucking buried him right in that, right in that wheelhouse. Like that.
What I love though is that, you know, we eventually found out that his whole, like, intro to games, like, and you are looking live, was just so live bettors could be like, oh, it's a fast track. Let me get one last bet in before the game starts. Oh, it's raining. Like bet the under. It's raining.
Yeah. Oh, man. Legendary.
Oh, what a guy. Like, I hear it because, you know, I'll run an errand on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And if I'm out, I'll turn to Fox Sports Eugene 95.7. Hey, KORE, put us on the radio. Just to listen to Musburger. It's great. Because, you know, the CBS affiliate does Seahawks games.
Yeah.
And I cannot stand their broadcast.
Yeah.
But the Raiders, I think it's Musburger and Lincoln Kennedy. It's pretty good.
Quality team.
Lincoln Kennedy, nice.
Quality team. I mean, I never going to listen to the Raiders ever in my whole life, but, you know, good for them. Good for them.
I love the thing about you're saying about the gambling when now it's, you know, they have, like, the live odds and stuff, like, on the screen.
Oh, I know.
While it's going. It's sponsored by DraftKings.
They gave up on that long time ago.
Bet.
It's so funny how prudish the networks pretended to be even like 2.5 years ago. We can't talk about odds. But hey, you want to know what? Now we're all going to have a gambling specific show. And just on the bottom line, we're just going to have odds and FPI and all this stuff.
Well, remember, DraftKings was kind of walking that line of not actually being gambling. So they were able to get away with a lot.
What they call like a fantasy.
Daily fantasy, baby. Yeah.
They were able to get away with a lot of stuff that like gambling places couldn't. Like they could do radio advertising. They could do like all this other stuff. And so they were riding that for a while. And then they got called out on it a couple of years ago, right? Like they actually, like I think somebody actually took them to court or something for that, right? Like the government was like, no, you're actually gambling. So stop saying you're not.
I do love like in that time period where everyone was reading DraftKings ads, you know, every 20 seconds and your former place of employment. I remember the host at one point was just like, listen, I know you're sick of this.
Yeah.
That's fine. They're paying us. So here you go.
I don't care.
I don't care.
Do not care. Yeah.
DraftKings, baby.
can't hear you over all this money flying.
Exactly. Right.
Well, I'm still bitter. I don't know who was in office then. I'm going to blame Kate Brown because why the fuck not?
Yeah, comrade.
Push Brown down.
When they got rid of the Oregon sports action so they could get like a women's NCAA Sweet 16 game in. They had to get rid of gambling. We can't have gambling. So we were going to get this tournament game in here.
I think you're besmirching Bob Packwood at that point. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago now.
He saved the spot of Al, man. Like, leave Bob Packwood and his – I mean, he was a pervert. Believe him alone.
I lost my Monday night, like, 18 player prop kind of for the sports action.
I do miss going to Dairy Mart and just picking out the
Oh yeah.
I know there is the whole, you know, app and all that now, but it's not the same. Yeah, I'll take a biscuits and gravy, a 74-ounce monster, and give me the Raiders, Panthers, Steelers.
That was a good Sunday morning right there.
It really
was.
Fucking set.
Going and down. A single stick. So I can stand out here. and light one off before I drive home.
Going to the altar Sunday morning.
They got rid of single sticks real quick, too.
And once they realized they had to tax those things, they're like, yeah, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah, not cost effective.
Single sticks.
It's like half an ounce of plastic for just like the worst cigarette
you can find. Worst cigarette ever. Oh, man. Those things hit, though, different. Oh. They were so bad.
The point, if you're going to get
that's
one.
A, like, extra tar in those
extra
ones.
They packed a pop. I will give them that. They were the equivalent of like two ports.
It's like smoking a chicken bone, but man, that'll get you.
And it took, God. Oh, memories, like
drawing
man.
It's like drawing a cigar on it. It'll so fucking thick on it.
Yeah, one of our like 26 listeners is like, what is they a know. Single stick?
Yeah, Google.
Yeah, like and retweet this podcast on Twitter if you hammered single sticks
back in the day. Just hit up one of our at names with single stick. Just tweet one of us single stick if you know what we're talking about.
You'll get a t-shirt thrown your way.
Yes.
Hashtag single stick.
All right. At TSB Ski, at Duromney, at TSB Pod. If y'all want a shirt.
Single sticks.
Hashtag single stick. Let's go. All right, takeaways from the episode. Single sticks. Ski hates owls. Efo's still friends with me on Xbox Live. All right. I'm cool with that. And yeah.
Don't forget to vote for me in whatever district Roseburg is in 2024.
District 9. That's not actually what it is. District 9. Seen that movie one time. It's okay.
Oh, Ducks. Oh.
How are the Ducks doing?
Down 5.5.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
It was just 10, so.
Yeah.
Don't call it a comeback, baby. Will Richardson going to drop 20 in the second half.
Deep in the woods, baby.
Yeah, sure.